Well, I wanted to save my blessings for when I was up here. It's a blessing to know you. It's a blessing to be a Christian. It's a blessing to have brethren. I grew up here. My first 4.5 years were here. And I was so thankful that I got the opportunity to serve the Lord here, to see you grow and stay faithful, and the Lord stay faithful to you and your families. So you're a blessing to me. You really are. I'm going to miss you. I really hope I don't see you again here on this earth. One day in heaven, amen. But I want to continue serving the Lord over there until the day he brings me home. But only he knows that. If I come back, praise the Lord, amen. But I appreciate your prayers. I've never been a missionary to advertise my needs. That's not who I am. I love the Lord and I just trust in the Lord. I came here asking the Lord to provide a church van for the ministry, so I could go out and pick up children and continue going out into the villages and give these puppet shows. And praise the Lord, by the grace of God, since I've been back here, he's provided that through brethren like yourselves, giving love offerings. So within the first 2 weeks of me being back, I'll be looking for a van. Please pray that it'll be the right one. It'll be a good one. It'll be mechanically sound. And we can further outreach to these children. But God is so good, and he continues to prove that to us and in my life. It was a blessing to have my family, my mum and my dad, come with me to Hamilton today. They send their love. It's a very unique opportunity I have to experience what's happening in all the churches in this country. And I am encouraged by what God's doing here. A lot of the times we are so isolated and we only see brethren every now and then. We don't realise what God's doing all across this country. And it's a I'm amazed at his grace and numerically growing in churches, spiritually growing in churches, men standing up and wanting to serve the Lord in a full-time capacity. It's happening here in New Zealand. So be encouraged by that, brethren. You're not on your own. God is using all his children, including you here in Rotorua. And I'm so thankful for your love, for your grace, for helping me in the ministry in Romania. I couldn't do it without you. And I pray that you continue to do so. Simple message tonight. It's not going to be long. Pastor said I only have 2 hours, so someone close the doors. The title of the message is Walk with God. Simple message, something that we need to be reminded of all the time, and I pray you'll receive a blessing from it. If you stand with me, please, and turn to Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5. We're going to look a bit closer at a man called Enoch, a man that walked with God. There's not much to go on with Enoch, not many verses we can glean from, but the verses that we do have in the Word of God are so precious. So let's read Genesis chapter 5, starting in verse 18 to 24. The Word of God says in verse 18, "And Jared lived 162 years, and he begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Let's pray. Lord, we're so thankful that we're accepted in the Beloved. We thank you for the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his grace in our lives. We acknowledge, Lord, that without thee we can do nothing, but through you we have everything, Lord. We praise you for being our God, for being so loving, so gentle, so kind, so faithful, Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness, te Rotorua, to every individual here, every family here this evening, Lord. Please speak to our hearts. We ask for your Holy Spirit's leading and guiding this evening, Lord, and we trust in you that you know what we need, and we'll praise you in advance for what we're about to hear, and we'll give you all the thanks and the glory in the holiest and most righteous name that we know, the sweetest name on earth, the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please take a seat. As I said, there's not many verses to go on about this man Enoch. He was born 622 years after Adam, exactly 7 generations from Adam. Imagine that. He was able to talk with the first created man, a man formed by the hands of God Almighty. He walked with Adam for 300 years. He had the opportunity to hear Adam say that God formed him. God breathed into him life. He had the opportunity to say, I messed up. I messed up, Enoch. I only had one thing I shouldn't have done, and I couldn't even do that, to eat from the forbidden fruit in the garden. So he fellowshiped with the first man on earth. In verse 21, it says, chapter 5, Enoch at the age of 65 had a son called Methuselah. We know Methuselah was the oldest person that's ever lived. Quite a wonderful testimony. And he goes on, yeah. But let's focus in verse 22. Verse 22 it says, and Enoch walked with God. Again in verse 24, and Enoch walked with God. And there's only two men in all of Scripture that have this testimony where it's written down. We know many of God's men walked with him, but it's only recorded with two men, Enoch. And in chapter 6, verse 9, if you have a look there, in chapter 6, verse 9 of Genesis, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. I don't know if it means much to you to have that testimony that you walk with God. That your walk with God is a good walk. It's either going to be a bad or a good walk. And we only get one shot at life. We only get one opportunity to walk with our God now that he's saved us. My question to you tonight is, how are you walking with God? We all, as Christians, and even the unsaved, are walking before God. He sees everything displayed before him. But are we walking with him? Is our life pleasing to him? Is everything in our life pleasing our God? Are we walking with him, Christian? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 9, Noah had that testimony that he was just, a just man and perfect. That's how he was walking with his God. A just man and perfect. What a testimony to have. And there's so many men in Scripture. David's testimony that he had a heart after God's own heart. Wonderful testimony that these men had. In James chapter 2, verse 23, it says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. What made him a friend of God? He believed God. He believed God's word. These men walked with him, with God. John 1:47, Jesus said this about Nathanael, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. What a testimony to have no guile in your life. And then it just goes on. We hear about Caleb, Joseph, Joshua, Job, Daniel. All these men walked with God. And then we have this wonderful testimony about Enoch. If you have a look there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5, only three times in the New Testament Enoch is talked about. Here's one of them here in Hebrews 11, verse 5. In Hebrews 11, verse 5, the Word of God says, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Does your walk with God please him? That was Enoch's testimony. He pleased God. Wow, think about that for a second. Your Creator, your Redeemer, your Savior, are you pleasing him with your walk? Is there things in your life that you know are not? We need to get rid of those things. We need to give them to God. Because like I said, we only get one chance at life. Let's have a life that pleases our God. Let's have a walk with him that pleases him. Obviously, before you were saved, you could not please your God. And there's two schools of thought here with Enoch. If you look back there in verse 22... of Genesis chapter 5, everyone had a testimony before they knew God. You had a testimony before you came to know Christ. What was your testimony in the world? It says there in verse 22, and Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. Does that mean for the first 65 years of his life he wasn't walking with God? We know that the Word of God says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. But after he begat Methuselah for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. What was your testimony in the world before you were saved? I know mine was. I had a testimony of being a drunkard, a fornicator, a drug user and drug seller, a liar, a thief. That was my testimony before I started walking with God. We each have a testimony before we knew God, before we believed in the Word of God. But make no mistake about it, Enoch's life, for some reason, after 65 years, after Methuselah was born, he started walking with God. He believed in the Word of God, and his testimony changed drastically. What about yours? The moment you were saved, the people in your life, your friends, your family, your co-workers, the students at your school. Does everybody see the change in your life now that you're saved, that you're a child of God? Enoch is now walking with God. Jesus Christ has given us the liberty to walk with him, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, John 8:32 says. We've been freed from this world. We've been freed from the world system, from sin, from Satan, from hell. Jesus Christ has done everything for us for the purpose of walking in the liberty that he's given us. In Ephesians chapter 4, well, before we go there, let's have a look in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, this testimony of us walking in the world before we were saved, in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, Paul records this, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I was talking to a sister in the Lord this week about how a lot of Christians have their noses up in the air, thinking that they're better than others, forgetting where they've come from, where Jesus Christ has brought them, and looking down on others, looking down on younger Christians. Why don't you know everything? Why aren't you doing what I'm doing? I've been saved for 20 years, you should know it automatically. But you take Jesus Christ out of the Christian and you're just a sinner. There's no righteousness in us. It's the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That's how we were walking in the world, but now we are saved by the grace of God. Ephesians chapter 4, if you turn over a couple of verses. How are you walking, Christian, with your family, with your friends, with your brethren? What's your testimony walking with God before them? Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. No church is exempt from splits. No church is exempt from one family being angry with another, with one individual being angry with another and leaving. Every church in this country, every church around the world has gone through that. And it all comes back from not walking with God, putting your focus on others, getting upset, not forgiving, getting bitter, and moving on. I tell you what, that's not going to cut it with God when you stand before him. That person upset me. How are you walking with your brethren? Is it a testimony that you're walking with God, that your life is pleasing God? I pray that it is. Every parent in here would agree that it pleases them when their children obey them. Do the dishes, please. Clean up. Clean your room. It pleases a parent when it's, in an hour, my favorite show's on. Yeah, I'll get around to it. And they mumble behind their breath. That doesn't please us. It pleases us when it's, yes, sir, yes, ma'am, straight away. First time, every time. Obedience pleases a parent, and it's no different with God. Obedience pleases him. If you want to walk with your God, a walk that pleases him, obey. Obey the word of God. That pleases our God. Not when I'll do it, God, in my timing, how I want to serve you. That doesn't please God. Is your walk pleasing him, Christian? Secondly, is your walk with God before the world a good testimony? It's one thing between brethren, family, and friends, but before the world, do you have a good testimony of your walking with God? Look at Jude verse 14. This was the testimony of Enoch before the world. Enoch in Jude verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things. also prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints." You see that? Enoch's testimony before the world was that he was a witness for God. That was his testimony. He went around telling everyone that God was coming. And they needed to repent and turn back to their God. A Christian's testimony in the world should not be one of being popular. You shouldn't be fitting in. You shouldn't be conforming. If you're just one of the boys, or if you're just in the in crowd, you're popular, you're famous. That's not a good testimony to have as a Christian. We should be standing out, standing up, not being silent, and telling them that they need to repent and turn back to God. That was Enoch's testimony before the world. And the greatest way that you can demonstrate love to the lost is by witnessing to them. In Romania, they think the greatest way to bless them is to give materially. It's not. The lost need Jesus Christ. And that should be every one of our testimony before God, that we're walking before him, witnessing to the lost. That pleases him. Have a look there in Luke chapter 2, verse 52. Here is the perfect example for us to follow if we want a great testimony before our God. A walk that pleases him. Of course it comes from Jesus Christ. This perfect testimony from our Lord that we need to follow. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, the word of God says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." That's quite incredible. This is the testimony that we need, Christian. He grew in wisdom. Have a look there in Colossians 1:10. Colossians 1:10 says, "That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Pastor Montgomery preached about this in part in Tito this afternoon. Christian, you need to continue growing in the Word of God. If it was good enough for our Savior, if it was good enough for the Lord Jesus Christ, it's good enough for us. To increase with our favor with God means to increase in the knowledge of the Word of God. I'm telling you, the cults know their Bibles. The Seventh-day Adventists, the Jehovah's Witness, they know they twist Scripture, but they know their Bibles. How well do you know your God? Do you know what pleases Him? Let's think of it in an earthly sense. How well do you know your father or your mother? How can you get to know them? Spending time with them, right? What makes them angry? What makes them sad? What makes them happy? What pleases them? What riles them up? It's the same with God. We need to increase in the knowledge of our God every single day. Don't get complacent. Don't think you've made it. Paul says when you think you're something, you're nothing. Never get complacent. Always grow in the Word of God. Jesus increased in favor with God the Father and with men. What a testimony of him walking with his God, with his Father, sorry. Samuel had the same testimony. If you turn back there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. Samuel shared the same testimony with the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." That doesn't mean conforming. That doesn't mean doing what the world's doing. That's not having favor with men. What a wonderful testimony. Enoch had the same testimony, a similar testimony. He pleased God. And how did he please him? By walking by faith. It's that simple. To please God with your walk is a walk by faith, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." That pleases God, walking by faith. If there's things in your life that you know are not pleasing the Lord, you need to take care of it. You need to take care of it tonight. I'm not exempt. I know there's things in my life that I keep taking back, and it's not pleasing God. I pray that you do take care of those things tonight. Our walk with the Lord should mean that we're firstly bearing fruit, spiritual fruit. Secondly, increasing in the knowledge of our God that pleases him. Walking by faith pleases our God. Being obedient to the word of God that pleases him. Christian, is your walk pleasing the Lord this evening? You know. Can't hide from him. I want us to quickly look at Enoch for a couple of minutes and then we're finished. Enoch's name, if you didn't know, I love his name. And the synonyms of his name. And it describes our Christian walk and our salvation. Enoch's name means initiated. And that literally means to be put into. What a wonderful name. He was put into God. The moment we got saved, we were put into Jesus Christ. His righteousness was imputed upon us. And we are now in Christ and him and us. And that's a wonderful picture of what happens the moment of our salvation. We're put into Jesus Christ. And synonyms of initiated are introduced. Enoch's name means introduced. Introduced to God the moment he obeyed the word of God, he believed, like all of us had to have done that to be saved. We had to believe one time, then we were introduced to God the Father through Jesus Christ. Another synonym for Enoch's name means acknowledged. Acknowledged who the Lord is. We acknowledge that once upon a time, that he is our Lord. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. We acknowledged our sin condition before God, that we needed salvation, and it was only through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what happens if you must be saved. You have to acknowledge that God's word is true and you need a Savior. Another synonym for his name means received. Received. God, we received God as Lord of our life one day. It's one thing to believe, it's another to receive. To appropriate Jesus Christ for yourself, to claim him, to receive him. Wonderful synonyms that Enoch's name has. Another one is approved. Enoch was approved of God because he believed in the word of God. If you want to be approved of your God, you must believe that he is. And then he'll show you that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Hey, salvation, a home in heaven, being spared from hell. It happens if you're approved by God. Confirmed is another synonym of Enoch's name. Confirmed by God as God's child. I believe that after salvation, you need to be made assured of your salvation. Confirmed. Not by feelings, only by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's the word of God that confirms our salvation. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. There's confirmation of your salvation. Another name, another synonym for Enoch's name is accepted. Incredible, and accepted, as every believer is accepted in the Beloved, because we've trusted in God's grace displayed by his Son and the work on the cross on our behalf. We're accepted because of Jesus Christ. And the last name, a synonym for Enoch, is established. And he was established by God because he grew in the knowledge of his God. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for what? Firstly, doctrine. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. Truly furnished unto all good works. We're only going to get established by knowing the word of God. That's going to make us stand on a firm foundation. That we can't be moved. I love Enoch's testimony. I love it that he walked with his God, that he pleased his God. He is a man of faith. And every one of us can have that same testimony. I pray that'll be yours. I say it nearly every time I preach now. There's nothing greater I want to hear than well done. Imagine that. Your Creator saying to you, well done. Your life pleased me. Well done. Your walk with me was good. Well done, my good and faithful servant. I pray that your walk with God, brethren, my friends in here today, will please him.